Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Well, first half, Mike August stops by to talk about his gambling addiction, and then we get into trending topics. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do with your home, one or the other, right? Then you got your automotive policy, so how about you get your bundle on at Geico? Geico makes it easy to take your homeowner's or renter's insurance and bundle it along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do around the house already. So what do? Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy when you bundle with Geico.
This week on Bowling with Favre, we got a good friend and one of the biggest musicians in the world, Darius Rucker.
Darius has been asked, either in a bar, in the airport, wherever, hey, give me a little bit of Hootie.
I was asked that last night at the bar. But I said no last night.
And coming up on next week's show, Tuesday the 23rd, we're joined by the legendary Dr. Phil. Subscribe now everywhere you get your podcasts, or stream the show for free at podcastone.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Bald Brian on sound effects, Mike Dawson filling in on news, a visit from Mike August, and another round of March Madness Madness. And now, a Quinn Martin production. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A trip to get a minute. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing with a friend. We love that about you, right, Bald Brian?
I respect what you do. I appreciate everything you do.
Speaking of that, start the clock, Max Paddock. All right. Serendipitously, Mike August has joined us in studio because I talked to Mike this morning about a bad beat he had. We talked about his Division II-A college gambling addiction over the weekend, and he suffered a very bad beat over the weekend. He was telling me that, and I said to Chris, oh, we got to talk about that. And then Mike had a meeting in the other shop and happened to just be walking in when I was walking out. So I said, well, come over and do it in person, Mike.
On KFC Day.
On KFC Day.
Fantastic. That chicken sandwich to die for.
Yeah. So you've carb loaded.
Yes.
And now you're ready to go with the story,
oh,
right?
My
so
God.
First off, let's just talk about the lower tier football gambling.
Well, you know, it's spring, right? So all the it's called FCS football. You got FBS football, which is the old time Division One, the big schools we all know. And there was a Division Two schools, right, that you don't know, but they've been playing football forever.
Right.
They didn't play last fall. Division two was off. So now it's spring and they're playing reduced schedules. mm-hmm. and you can bet them just like you bet big time football.
Right. Right?
So mm-hmm. we were in Reno this weekend. So I popped down to the sports book in the casino, and sure enough, they're taking all the games that are up there. They don't put spreads on every one of them, but most of them.
Isn't cockfighting year round? Like, can't you satiate your gambling addiction with something other than this embarrassing subject?
They go to school cockfighting? I didn't realize that.
So, well, they got the Fighting Gamecocks,
oh, yeah.
I think.
South Carolina.
So you bet on some of the schools you bet on.
I was quizzing you. I dared you. What I said, if you can guess the state that some of these schools are in, that would be a miracle. Because some of them make some – they don't even correlate.
I didn't know.
What state is Dixie State in?
I didn't – yeah. What? Oh, that Tennessee? Was in Illinois?
Utah.
Oh,
of course. Oh, Dixie State of Utah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A big movement on now to change the name since we got woke.
But. Yeah.
Dixie State is somewhere in the wilds of Utah.
So some of the other schools you gambled on?
Sacred Heart, Merrimack.
Mm-hmm.
Duquesne, Long Island U, something, something, something. Like, there's three other letters I didn't even recognize.
Now, you can't be familiar with these schools.
No. I mean, you know, if I say Duquesne, you know Duquesne is in Pittsburgh. Right?
Yeah,
so you know that. But yeah, I don't know where Sacred Heart is. I don't know where Merrimack is. I don't know where Kennesaw State is.
How their program is.
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's one school I'd heard of called Jacksonville State, mm-hmm. right? And they've had a reputation as being a very good Division II school. Right?
They're a powerhouse.
They played last fall. They played like three games. They beat a Division I team. A very mm-hmm. good Division I team. So I bet them this weekend. They kicked ass.
So
what's the strategy? Look for big spreads,
yes.
all spreads?
Not
knowing the teams.
Not knowing the teams, but knowing these teams are all pretty consistent with the talent. Like, no team is – there's no Alabama, you know, Vanderbilt in this in Division II. They're all pretty much the same. So, but sometimes they'll throw crazy – like, I bet Duquesne – Long Island, whatever it was, and had an 18-point spread or 17-point spread. I bet Sacred Heart, Merrimack, it was a 17.5-point spread, thinking, well, they'll cover the spread, right? Or in this case of Sacred Heart, which is a very good team, I said they will cover the spread. And that's the disaster that happened to me with this particular game.
Well, how many games did you bet on?
Oh, I must have bet 15 games this weekend.
15?
I just went up and down the menu at the sports book. It's okay. I just checked them down.
And you had a bad beat.
Oh, so Sacred Heart is playing Merrimack. They're an 18.5-point favorite, okay? And they're good. They're really good. So I said, they'll cover that because who the hell's Merrimack? So and you can watch them on ESPN Plus. They stream the game. So Sunday we get back from Reno, and I get it on. You know, I get home and I turn it on. I get just at the very end of the game. There's literally 2 seconds left in the game.
I'm sure. By the way, your kids were delighted to see you run right past them. Get right to your computer.
Because I got $100 on
watch two colleges they'll never go to because you squandered the money away.
That's probably the tuition. The, kids, like the $100 bet.
Deion Sanders coaches for Jackson State.
No, he coaches for another. Yeah, there's Jacksonville State and there's Jackson State. Jackson State's in Mississippi. Jacksonville State's in Alabama.
Well, either way, Deion does something for one of them.
He does. He's the head coach of Jackson State.
Wow.
Did you see him the other day complaining? They ripped off his bag the first game of the year. They stole his bag out of his office.
Really?
And then they play again the next game, and his bag is missing again. And he goes bananas. He's like, they ripped me off again. Of course, this time somebody moved his bag so it wouldn't get stolen.
I see.
Embarrassing.
Right.
We won't even get into the where's and why's of that. But
all right, so Sacred Heart.
So Sacred Heart is winning 26-7. They're an 18.5-point dog. Mm-hmm. 7 and 18.5 is how much, Max Pata? 25.5.
He's not that kind of Asian.
Okay.
he's the more kind of push the boat with the stick Asian and a little less crunch the numbers Asian.
Gotcha. Sorry.
There are different breeds.
Sorry. You know what? My apologies.
I'll get the rest of the show ready.
You got to get across a river in a raft.
So
Max
to do the math,
man.
7 plus 18.5 is 25.5. Sacred Heart is 26. There's 2 seconds left in the game. Sacred Heart has the ball deep in their own territory.
So the team with the lead.
Team with the lead has the ball. This game's over.
You got that team.
It's over. I'm like, this bet is won. The quarterback for Sacred Heart to run out the rest of the game runs into the end zone.
Oh, no.
And takes a knee.
Intentional safety?
He's down the ball. The referee comes up and goes, safety. Game over. They give 2 points to Merrimack. Goes from 26-7, 26-9. Now 9-18.5 is obviously more than 27. Can you believe that?
And
that's not American, Adam.
We were talking, if he ran out of the back of the end zone, is it still a safety or is it just a touchback?
That's a touchback. That's just a touchback. A safety is when you get tackled in the end zone or down yourself with the ball.
Yeah, I don't, and I agree with that. I'm just, it's still like
is
a,
there a clip
confirmation.
Of this, Chris?
No, there's nothing. I was looking myself to see if they'd written it up because it's just it doesn't matter because they beat them badly anyway. But for anybody who had money on it, it literally is like, did the quarterback bet the other way? I mean, that was the most insane.
How many seconds left?
Two. The game was
literally
over.
Literally
2 seconds. All you had to do was just run around for a second or two. But he goes to the end zone and gets downed.
Huck the ball deep.
Yeah. Anything but what he did. It didn't matter to the game outcome. But only me. So that was what's worse? The fact that when I grew up in Boulder, the supermarket, they got shot up yesterday.
That was your supermarket.
That was our supermarket. I've been there hundreds of times.
Mike used to ride there on a bicycle.
I'd ride my bike there
as
a kid. Yeah, that was our store.
It's a dark day for Mike August.
Very.
Thank
God it's KFC day.
What yard was he on? The 10-yard line? How far back did he run?
I'd just come into it. I mean, it was like I looked at my phone and saw there was like 8 seconds left. I'm like, oh, it's over. And then I just had the ESPN, so I clicked over to it, and I literally saw a referee come up with the safety. And I'm like, safety? What happened? And then I go, oh, that's 2 points on top of 7 points. That's not good.
How much did you have riding on that
100 bucks. I bet every game at 100 bucks.
How'd you do overall?
I won 10 and lost 5.
Well, so would have been 11-4.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Would have been a decent weekend.
If you're into gambling, look at these FCS games. They play pretty close to that line. So they don't blow each other out. You know, if it's 18.5, they play right to 18.5. If it's like Jacksonville State, though, is really good. They were 7.5 dog. I'm like, that's a horrible spread. They won by like 20 points.
We're going to see some Reno shows pop up on the schedule so we'll collect.
The second topic is Paul Abdul's dad. Because Mike,
how did that come up?
Knows Paul Abdul exquisitely well.
Yes.
Out of trending topics is a Chris Laxamana segment.
Yes, I know Paul Abdul. He's all in the news.
Sam Abdul is a trending topic now.
Yeah,
the great.
And as
Sam
I've
Abdul.
Said, I know Mike knows Paula well because when I got onto a first class flight to New York 20 years ago, Paul Abdul was sitting in first class, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she handed me her phone. And Mike was on the other line.
On the other line. She goes, oh, look, Adam Carolla's here.
Right.
Before I know it, I'm talking to Adam Carolla.
Hand him the phone. That was pre-COVID.
Yes.
So Paul Abdul's dad, Syrian.
Syrian Jew.
And had an invention in the 70s or the 80s?
I don't know if it was an invention. This guy got into bottled water in the late 70s. Can you imagine? Bottled water in the Who would ever think? I remember when bottled water got big. I moved to New York to join Baby in the early 90s. That was just about the time that people were starting to drink a lot of bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
I thought at the time, like, who's going to pay for water? Water's free. That's like selling ice to Eskimos. Nobody's going to pay for water. That's
but
nuts.
Paul Abdul's dad was early money on bottled water.
He was a very successful purveyor in the San Fernando Valley. You know, purveyors purvey meat and fruit and vegetables to restaurants and you know, catering and all that kind of stuff. And he was a really great businessman, and he got way ahead of the curve and got a bottled water company going and sold it for a ton. I don't know how much, but it must have been a ton because he retired somewhere in the early 80s.
Really?
He was out of bottled water before it even really became mainstream. I mean, that's pretty genius.
Were they close, Paula and Pops?
I think after the breakup, you know, they got divorced when she was rather young, and I don't think it went. it was not a close relationship, from my perspective.
She went to Van Nuys High,
did
right?
She? Yeah.
She went to Van Nuys High right up the
you
street.
You know what she was
Wolves.
Doing in
Van
high school?
Van Nuys High, by the way, is the high school from. Oh God, I'm trying to think of. I'll think of it in a second. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was Van Nuys. Those were the Wolves. Those are the Van Nuys.
Yes.
High Wolves, and Paula was probably just graduated when they filmed that.
Do you know what she did in high school? I mean, she literally started in high school. She was choreographing Jacksons, like the Jackson 5, when there was a Jackson 5. That's how she kind of broke in.
She's a prodigy.
I mean, she really is a first-class choreographer. Everybody knows her as a singer, a dancer, obviously the Idol thing, but she still to this day makes her money choreographing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Videos, films. Yeah, she is a incredibly talented choreographer and has always made money doing that.
And she was getting paid by the Jackson Five when she was in high school.
Yep. Yeah, that was her high school. That's when she started kind of in the business. She became known as like a really great choreographer, and then she moved on and became a Laker girl, and then obviously became the most famous Laker girl of all time, and then crossed over into music and exploded.
When did you get connected with Paula?
After it was all over. When there was nothing left in the when Baby and I left the vaunted William Morris Agency and went to work for AMG. Remember when we tried to drag you and Jimmy over there? You know, an agent at William Morris said, hey, you know, Paula really has some great ideas. And, you know, I think you'd be great with her. Why don't you meet with her? And because she just had started doing Idol. And she has some business opportunities. And so I got together with her and we just started, you know, trying to sniff out some of the business opportunities she had coming her way from the Idol days.
Who's a bigger pain in the ass, her or me?
Oh, God.
It's tough, right?
No, believe me. You on your worst day, on your worst rant-filled day, cannot match some of the antics of Paula Abdul.
Antics.
August, which green room has the best food? Maybe not the best. Well, for the last year, what has been the best green room food experience?
Green room food? You mean when we're on the road?
Yeah, or when we go out to eat? That's your thing, man. Corolla's on stage and you're living it up in the green room.
Oh, that's a good one. Because comedy club food has gotten a lot better. They have upped their game.
They have done
incredibly.
They've kind of done what stadiums have done. Mm-hmm. They upped their culinary game.
Yeah.
I got to believe the improv in Florida. Where did we play over there?
Naples or West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach. I mean, from what I ate from Garrigus's quesadillas.
All I saw is what he threw up, because I had to go in the bathroom and clean up after him, after the potato skin.
Did he boot?
He did throw up. Oh, yeah. You know, he flushed, but you know that distinct smell when you walk in, you go, oh, somebody just barfed in here? That was the smell.
And for the yak, one flush is not enough. I mean, it gets on the bowl.
He was soused. I was talking to him for a good 15 minutes. We were talking about Harvey Weinstein. And at some point, he just got up and literally just lumbered out the door, and we never saw him again. He didn't say goodbye. I didn't know if he was going out to just get some air. Gone.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to him since. Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive.
Oh, great.
I spoke to him that weekend. I do like the drunken exit.
Yeah.
I do like when guys just get up and leave.
He didn't even really so much walk. He just kind of pushed forward, you know, his head first.
Right.
Went through the door. I'm like, well, we'll probably find him in the lobby or somewhere, you know, passed out. We never saw him again.
Well, we'd had a couple of pops at the poolside bar before we got there.
More than a couple. Yeah, so, remember because we had the tequila chick?
We had the waitress who knew everything about tequila,
which is such a scam because you guys are sitting there because I'm not really drinking it, and she's now running downstairs and bringing back $350 bottles. Like, oh, this is just ridiculous.
Well, she knew a couple of whales when she spotted them.
A couple of beached whales. And
all right, Mike, have another chicken sandwich.
Thank you.
Head on over to the other shop.
I would recommend highly for this weekend Jacksonville State, and don't sleep on Sacred Heart again. Because they can't do this twice to me.
Oh, yeah,
you got to bet on them again.
Yeah, no, you got to.
That will not happen.
You got to go back to
again.
That well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Mike, you're going to be at the jam in the van.
I will be jamming in the van. We've got Loxie playing at the top. We got Dawson doing some time. We got Adam Ray coming in. Adam's going to do at least an hour.
Stacked lineup.
We've got dope. We've got booze.
Yeah.
We've got betting.
We got it all. Yeah, find Mike. He'll be the guy.
The over-under.
He'll be the guy wearing the visor with the tint in it.
We got Paula Abdul. She's going to come in and choreograph the whole thing.
Going to her cage bell.
Sam Abdul will be retailing water.
All right. Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. You know, there is something I want to share with you, Mike. So hang on for a second. And Max Pata, or maybe Dawson can find it. But Speaking of your hometown and the shooting that went on in the market.
We'll be back there in 2 months.
CNN, it will be in Golden
be right
or Boulder.
Next door in Golden.
CNN was going to run a special last night, but then the shooting kind of preempted it. And I was taping it, but it got preempted. But I just took a picture of the screenshot. I was watching CNN in the morning. And we always talk about the fear business and CNN being in the fear business. They had a special.
What does that say?
The special. Well, Mike, I'll let you read it. The special's now just called Afraid.
Oh, wow.
It's literally, they've named it Afraid. Yeah, they cut right to it. They've been dancing around. They've been trying to scare everyone for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But they wouldn't label the stuff Afraid. The special is called Afraid, Fear in America's Communities of Color.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to get all into that. And then a bunch of white people got shot, and they went, well, fuck that. We'll save it for another day. But they're literally now just owning it.
Yeah.
Just Afraid.
Well, you know,
everyone's
the numbers
afraid.
Are down dramatically since the Trump exit.
So well, we've got to scare people now.
They are just jonesing for any type of bogeyman they can find. And I guess the vaccine is now it. Now we're afraid of that.
Now they're afraid of, this will be all encompassing, but I think it'll be white supremacist militias that are hunting people of color in the street. Yes. It'll be vaccines. We'll get to
vaccine mobiles.
We'll get to this Tuskegee experiment. And it'll be just general, just a good, healthy dose of afraid. Just afraid.
Wow.
Because the more scared you are, the more you sit home and the more you put on weight and the more you watch TV. So CNN is now leaning right into it and naming their specials Afraid.
Holy moly. Jeff Zucker's head, that song just must be repeat, the guy who runs CNN. Paranoia strikes deep, into your life it might creep. It starts when you're always afraid. And that's all they sell is fear. If we can make you afraid, we got you.
Yeah,
you can't move.
It's funny. It's kind of interesting because in a way, the left-wing version of afraid is racism and COVID and, you know, being and vaccines to a certain degree. But it's like it's mostly just we live in a racist culture and we're hunting people of color. Yes. And then the white person, the right-wing kind of Karen Nancy Grace is abduction. See, we're scared our kids are going to be collected in a van and taken somewhere. So on one side, it's all racial fear. And on the other side, it's all true crime,
bogeyman.
Abduction, fear. But it's fear.
Random.
That's
random.
What works. All right, Mike, I'll let you get to your second KFC sandwich there.
Thanks, everybody.
Nice job. I can tell you guys that there's a GoFundMe. And you should probably put that info on there, Maxipat.
Well,
want us to go.
They're long URL. So just follow us on social media. We've been tweeting out the links at Adam Carolla Show, or just find Adam's accounts on social. So we have two of them. The first one was we've been tweeting it yesterday. It's for Gina's dad, who passed away last week. But so she had an $18,000 goal, and yesterday was when the link went out. As of recording this, it is just shy of $21,000. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So thank you, fans.
Yeah, you guys are.
Your generosity.
Killing it.
And then there's Ozzy's
and then last
funeral
night,
fund.
Yeah, last night, Vinny put up a link for Ozzy's GoFundMe. So that one's now making the rounds. And he has a $10,000 goal, and it is just shy of $8,000. So it looks like we're getting real close there, too. So just, thanks to everybody for donating and contributing. It really just goes to show how awesome the listeners of this show are and the community that this show is.
All right. So we got trending topics to deal with, and I guess we can do that. First, let me hit Tommy John, and we'll get to our trending topics. Tommy John, best underwear ever. I'm wearing mine right now. Tommy John, they got the hammock pouch underwear, the best. And when you're wearing Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear, you're so much more comfortable, and you do everything so much better. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 13 million pairs sold. Dozens of comfort innovations like air mesh interior hammock, moisture wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Great if you're taking walks, if you're taking hikes, if you're taking jogs, if you're riding the treadmill or rowing machine, or you're riding a soul cycle or whatever you're up to these days. The thing about Tommy John is, like I said, once you get into them, you will not get into anything else. Right, Dawson?
And right now, you can get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's 20% off underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll bring Max Zapata in here. He's got topics that are trending. I've not reviewed any of them, so we'll do them cold right after this.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy, Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
No one put baby in the corner.
If you said Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
I watched Under Siege last night with Sonny.
That's a great movie. Especially for what it is, like that, you know, 90s sort of action and shoot 'em up. Like that's a fun, smart movie.
Yeah, it is. And you watch it and you realize so much of it is Tommy Lee Jones giving a great, crazy performance. And Busey being big
great
and great, too, in that movie.
Erica Liniak popping out of that cake made me a man.
I know. All right. Do we have an intro here? Oh, Dawson's
we don't need it. It's all right. I was actually watching Air Force One in the other room here.
Oh, I got to watch that with Sonny.
Well, Sonny walked in, and he watched it for about 20 seconds, and he looks at me and goes, "Is this Star Wars?"
Oh, boy.
So what is he talking about?
Air Force One. I was watching Air Force One.
Get
he sees Harrison. Yeah, he
That's
sees Harrison Ford
movie.
On a plane. He thought it was Star Wars. So
I talked to him this morning. He goes, I think that was my first Steven Seagal movie. I said, it's not going to be your last. And he said,
no.
Oh, yes, it is. And I said, oh, no, it's not, because Under Siege 2, Deadly Territory, whatever, takes place on a train. And we got to watch that as well.
It's a steep drop off from that to any other Seagal movie.
It's kind of funny. In a way, it's kind of like Speed. Speed went from the bus to the boat, and Under Siege went from a boat to a train.
Both with disastrous
results. Yes, it doesn't work when you just move it to another mode of transportation.
You guys should watch Speed together. That's a great movie.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Speed actually has three modes of transportation within the movie. The elevator, the bus, the subway train.
Yes.
A lot of acts. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go over some trending topics here. I'm going to kick it off. Cinnamon Toast Crunch was trending twice this week for two very different reasons. So over the weekend, former NFL defensive end from your Rams, Chris Long, he tweeted, "Anyone want to rank top five cereals?" And sometimes these tweets just get shared all over the place because everybody wants to chime in. I'll give you the top five just based off of all the Twitter trending names. Cinnamon Toast Crunch was number one. Number one with a bullet. Frosted Flakes, number two. Yeah. Honey Nut Cheerios, number three. Yeah. Fruity Pebbles, number four. Lucky Charms, number five.
Mm. Now, Golden Grahams?
I like a Frosted Mini Wheat in there. But all right.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask, because Adam, you talk about grape nuts a lot, but you never really get into the yummy face cereals, the sugary coated ones.
Oh. Well, my mom wouldn't buy any of that stuff. Like I said, she would buy the grape nuts, and then we would take a sack of sugar and dump it into the grape nuts so it could be edible. And she was defeating her own purpose, obviously. We definitely oversweeten the grape nut. There was more sugar in our grape nuts than there would have been in Frosted Flakes.
Remember dredging the bottom of the bowl with your spoon to get that last little bit of cereal? Or a lot of sugar, I mean?
Yeah, that was all. So I would go to other people's houses, and then it was just catch as catch can. Whatever it is they had, I got. We would do the Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies must have zero nutritional value.
Yeah.
That's puffed rice.
We should just eat styrofoam packing with some milk in the bowl. So there was that, and then you'd have to overly sugarize that. So we had
totally neutralized whatever health benefit might come of a lesser sugar cereal.
We had three choices. We had grape nuts, which were horrible. We had to dump sugar in. Rice Krispies, tons of sugar dumped into that. And then there was oatmeal, which we would dump tons of brown sugar in. Mm-hmm. And somehow, with according to my mom's dietary logic, brown sugar was good for you. So you could eat as much honey and as much brown sugar as you want. So you just dump copious amounts of brown sugar into the oatmeal.
Yes. In the history of marketing, I assume a chapter was written on one of the greatest campaigns ever, which was the cereal Kix, K-I-X, which was like kid tested, mother approved.
Oh, yeah.
That was their logo. That was their slogan, was that, you know, kid tested, mother approved, because it had a little less sugar than the rest, but it's still full of carbs and sugar. And it was like, okay, a little less sugar. And your mom was like, oh, mom approved. We can totally buy that. We had Kix every fucking day. It was just puffed sugar balls.
Yeah.
I mean, if we had Vinny here, his head would explode. But I mean, like, in the nutritional from a pure nutritional standpoint, is there something worse to send your kid out for the day with than just a ball of puffed nothingness? Just a carb, just a pile of carbs and sugars. No one ever talks about Golden Grahams.
But love Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams were considered good for you because, like, it's a graham cracker. Graham crackers are good for you. Somehow they were good. And then there was Life. Life wasn't bad. Yeah. All right. But
I was thinking about Rice Krispies, as you were saying. And growing up, at least in my generation, they were sold to us by their sound. Like, don't worry about the flavor, but if you listen, snap, crackle, and pop.
Right.
All right. Well, a lot of people are chiming in. So Cinnamon Toast Crunch was actually trending on Sunday. But yesterday, Jensen Karp, who's been on the show, he's on the show in 2016. He had a very different experience. Now, Jensen, he wrote that memoir chronicling his life as a white rapper and how Kanye owes him money. He was most recently on the Kevin and Bean show until they were unceremoniously fired over a year ago. And he is married to Danielle Fishel. Or as I know her, Topanga.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good for you, Jensen. But anyway, he tweeted a picture of some shrimp tails he found in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. By the way,
possibly shrimp tails?
Yeah.
Possibly?
By the way, RIP my mentions and inbox once this thing went viral. But so if you look, they're actually coated in sugar and cinnamon, and they are cooked, just judging by the color. And they're consumed in the correct way, by the way, Adam. I hate when people leave meat in the ends of those shrimp tails.
Yeah, just suck them out.
You got to suck them out.
Do we know they're shrimp tails or just deformed versions?
Well, so here's the thing. He tweets Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch replies, "After further investigation with our team that closely examined the image, it appears to be an accumulation of cinnamon sugar that sometimes can occur when ingredients aren't thoroughly blended. We assure you there's no possibility of cross-contamination with shrimp." But then if you look here, now they're in his hand. Jensen's like, no, these are definitely shrimp tails.
Well,
yeah, there's a mystery to what the... I will update you and say most recently I noticed Jensen has actually taken these to a lab to have them analyzed if they are in fact seafood.
Yeah, there's a whole saga here. So
I would tend to believe the folks that make Cinnamon Toast Crunch, if they hadn't launched a new cereal in the same factory called Langostino Pops.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, now I'm suspicious, you know?
True. That would cause some cross-contamination for sure. Made in the same factory that manufactures almonds, nuts, and shrimp.
Hey, Dawson. Dawson's getting some coffee.
Free Pebbles de Mar.
I want to know if Langostino exists or it's just weird. It's crawdads that Sizzler decided to give a cool name to, like Corinthian leather. You know what I mean? Corinthian leather's vinyl. But the good folks who made the Chrysler Cordova said, yeah, we'll call it Corinthian leather, Mercedes leather. You know what I'm saying?
I know for a fact that Langostino exists, but to your point, like it might be like the way polenta and grits are just essentially the same thing, but you can call it,
Is there
fancy.
A difference between...
It refers to the meat of the squat lobster.
Squat lobster.
Which is neither a true lobster nor a
lobster.
Squat lobsters... They say are more related to hermit crabs.
Oh, yeah. More related to hermit. Yeah, so they don't pitch that at Sizzler. I mean, I used to see those commercials like, come on in for steak and Langostino. And mm-hmm. I'm like, we're not coming in for shit.
I want the squat lobster. Yeah. That's my favorite B-52 song.
Squat lobster.
All right, sorry.
Well, anyway, upon looking more into the bag, Jensen also found like some other items and what appeared to be like dental floss in there as well. And then on the actual cereal itself, he saw some black spots, and so Twitter is now analyzing these pictures, and they're saying, look, these are rat droppings.
Oh.
All right, and a possible solution is the rats.
Oh, now there's something here, because the floss would smell like, you know, teeth and, you know, protein or whatever,
right.
The droppings and the tails from the lunchroom.
Yeah,
right?
So these are rat droppings, and a possible solution is the rats got into the dried goods at the factory. They made like nests in there, and then the droppings were actually baked onto the cereal, because they said those are cooked rat droppings. That's what Twitter's saying. So Jensen is now really grossed out, because he's already had some of the cereal. He's already eaten some of it. And he got it as a 2-pack at Costco. So now he's going to the Costco to check it out. But General Mills and Cinnamon Toast Crunch are standing their ground, saying there's no way it's rats. This is something else.
Well, I was a little dubious with the lobster, I should say the shrimp tail, but no, the droppings, the floss is really kind of, that's kind of the kicker, because that is something a rat would grab and drag somewhere.
Yeah.
But Chris, I'm just looking because I don't understand, what do cooked rat droppings even taste like?
It's very salty, but you get a nice flavor of umami.
I guess it depends what the rat ate, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
flavor burst.
Oh, right. I had a weird thing happen yesterday. So Ryan went on an In-N-Out run, and since I produce a show, I don't typically get to my burgers till they are very cold, because I'm working on the show. So I go back there, get the burgers, and I pick out my protein style In-N-Out burger, and about 10 fruit flies fly out from inside of it.
Holy moly.
And I'm wondering, did these things lay eggs in my burger? And I go to Kaylin and Matt, and they're kind of trying to figure it out with me. And Matt suggests that I just cut off the front part of the burger where the fruit flies could have gone in and just enjoy the burger. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh, I'm surprised you cut that off.
Save it for later.
Yeah. Listen, in the gross food department, tonight I'm going to enjoy a steak.
Oh, my God.
I brought home from Reno on Friday night.
Oh.
Spent the night out of the fridge in Reno, by the way, and I put it in for the second night.
But yeah. It's fine. Microwave will kill that. Kill it.
I'm getting right into that shit. So there's that.
A lot of steak carry-on with you.
I got to tell you, I know something about fruit flies, because I had an infestation in my locker in high school. I used to bring a lot of bag. I had to pack my own lunch, and you have these grandiose thoughts about good sandwiches and stuff the night before, but when you pack it that morning, you end up just grabbing an apple and a box of raisins and a hard-boiled egg, and it's blah. And I had this tendency to leave a lot of my old bags just in my locker with the with the fruit in them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had a pretty bad infestation. A big cloud would come out when I opened my locker. So, those fruit flies, they're kind of like maggots. Like, they just are there.
They're there. They hover in the air. They always go for the face whenever they're flying around you.
I would just eat them.
All right. Just eat the fruit flies.
Yeah. Just walk around. Yeah, you know, what we never really realize, I mean, what we don't want to think about is the beef, the bun, the lettuce, the tomato, the onion. By the time it makes its way to the In-N-Out in Glendale, it's seen a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
God knows what's in there.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's go on to the next topic here. We'll take a quick trip to the cornfield. So we have the Teen Vogue editor-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
Alexi McCammon. She resigned or was ousted. I've seen both words being used in the articles for tweets she tweeted when she was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, around 16. This is in 2011. She's a teenager.
There's like an N-word in there.
Yeah, a lot of it was actually against Asians, which is not the time to do that.
No.
Or at least not the time for things to resurface. Some of her
now
tweets.
Was she black or half black?
Yeah,
or something?
She's black.
All right.
So some of the tweets she said were like, quote, ha ha ha, you're so gay, or now Googling how not to wake up with swollen Asian eyes.
I need those drops.
Or mm-hmm. outdone by Asian, hashtag what's new. So in the
Is that a slight outdone by the Asians?
I don't think so. I take it as a compliment.
Yeah. I mean, you're a little less the numbers kind, a little more the raft pushing. I get it.
Well, anyway, so Teen Vogue, these unsurfaces, so she's resigned from Teen Vogue. She's apologized, saying, I've apologized for my past racist and homophobic tweets and will reiterate that there's no excuse for perpetuating those stereotypes in any way. I'm so sorry to have used such hurtful and inexcusable language at any point in my life. It's totally unacceptable.
Oh, I mean, think about the stuff. First off, all right, let's remove me from the equation. Think about stuff my buddy Ray would have tweeted when he was 16 if he had a Twitter account. I mean, now, thank God he's unemployable. I mean, that's the beauty of construction. No one really cares what you ever said or did. They just want to know if you can lay tile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very brass tacks. But we'd all be – if I had a phone, I could tweet whatever I wanted when I was in high school.
Yeah.
It'd be a shit show.
And a lot of like teen Twitter and teen Instagram, they're doing it to each other. It's not really made for a public forum. They're just like, oh, I want to tweet my friends and things like that. So it's actually like you're just talking to your friends, but it just happens to be in a public forum. Like imagine if what you said to your friends got out publicly.
Ugh.
When you're a teen. So
just the other friends who weren't in on that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So she gets ousted.
So she's ousted and she's using this as a teachable moment.
But didn't one of the people that outed her get outed too?
Yeah.
That's the part that I enjoy. I don't like the part where someone's old tweets gets them ousted. I like the part where the person who dug up the old tweets and one of them ousted has their old tweets dug up.
Yep. And that's exactly right.
Listen, everybody, if you got some old tweets floating around out there, don't go on the tweet warpath with somebody you're going to oust, because it's going to take 10 minutes for somebody else to just go look up your history.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that story, but the chick who is half Filipino, I think.
I don't have the exact tweet, but you're totally right that someone dug up the whistleblower on that, and she is in trouble as well.
I think the new world order is, if you ever watch those that old scary footage of like Saddam Hussein giving a speech to like parliament, and he's got like 500 people in this raked auditorium, and you know, he says something and people just clap and they're scared to stop. They don't want to be the first one to stop clapping or whatever. Here's the deal. You got to sit down and you got to endure this speech for an hour and a half and you go home. Don't stand up and point at somebody across the hall and go, that guy needs to be executed, because that guy may get executed, but still everyone's looking at you now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just sit there. Don't start getting into other people's shit, because then they will get into your shit, and they would both have a job if the chick who recently got ousted didn't start in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, what kind of journalistic standard do we have to hold Teen Vogue to anyway? You know what I mean? Right. It's like too much blush, too much eyeshadow. He weighs in. And that's not... You're not blowing the lid off what's going on the border or Watergate or anything like that.
Yeah. But in its defense, I mean, this is the most publicity Teen Vogue has had.
That's true. Well, I'm canceling my subscription because I've had it up to here. I think, oh boy, Dawson, here's one for you. I think in the late 90s, I did like an advice column for Teen Vogue. Or if it existed.
Oh, no.
I've never had this thought on the air, but I do remember I was the Loveline guy, and like every week I did some sort of call. They just call me up and I'd go, tell them to get over it.
How to lance a pimple with a butter knife.
Yeah, stuff like that. But I don't know. How long has Teen Vogue existed? That would be
like
interesting.
A long time.
Because I do think I had like my Teen Vogue corner or column or something. Giovanni will tell me.
Yeah, I'll talk to Gio after the show. But anyway, while we're here in the cornfield, we'll just quickly pass over Josh Whedon. He was once king of the nerds.
Oh,
Avengers,
Josh Whedon, yeah.
Cabin in the Woods, which I know Brian liked. I mean, created Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
He created these shows?
Well, he directed the first two, and then created Buffy and the show and Angel. Well, anyway, so he was under a lot of fire over the last few months for workplace harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Fisher, Charisma Carpenter, Michelle Trachtenberg, Jason Momoa, Gal Gadot, they've all publicly complained about his behavior on set for different reasons, but basically the guy's a dick. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their through line there. And
when he was directing?
Yeah, when he was directing. Like, for instance, Charisma Carpenter said when they were doing Buffy, she was pregnant, and Joss pulled her in and was like, "Are you going to keep it?" You know, and he was actually waiting for an answer. And then he hated that she got pregnant, so he would force her to work at like 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and stuff like that. And everyone on the set of Buffy is like, has Charisma's back, and like, yeah, he's a jerk. I like that I'm a part of Buffy, but I hate being associated with Joss.
When I was growing up, the trope for the weirdest, quirkiest, most demanding guy in the world was the Hollywood director. Every sitcom or movie that had a Hollywood director, he treated everyone like shit. He was a weird, flaky guy.
Megalomaniac.
Yeah, that was the trope. Yeah. All right, so happened to him?
Well, so in 2017, the movie Justice League was released, and Zack Snyder was directing it, who did 300. And during production, Warner Brothers and Zack didn't really have similar visions. They told Zack, you got to keep it under 2 hours. They watched this first cut, and they were like, this is unwatchable. We're bringing in Joss Whedon, who did the Avengers, to help rewrite and add to the production. And then during the production, Zack Snyder's daughter kills herself. And Zack just leaves production, and Joss takes over. And the movie comes out. Joss takes over as director, and it's a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Bad reviews. Didn't make anything at the box office. It's forgettable.
This is the Superman meets Wonder Woman meets Batman. Mm-hmm. It's all the big expectations, and it was pretty bad.
Exactly. Right. Well, so once everybody started coming out saying Joss was a jerk and production for this movie was really awful, a lot of fans and the actors in the movie tweeted, we need to see Zack Snyder's cut. Let's get it back into the mix. And so HBO, Warner, they put it out on HBO Max last week, and it is 242 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
They spent another $70 million to complete the filming, the visual effects, the editing, and it is a huge hit. Everybody loves it. And it's like and I don't know if it's because we hate Joss Whedon or if it really is that good, but I talked to Emmy and Ryan who watched it and Kaylin watched it. They love it.
Hmm. So I wonder what the Rotten Tomatoes scores are.
Okay, so I have them. I have them here. So Whedon's is 40% critics, 71% audience.
Okay.
Snyder's, as of right now, is 73% critics, 96% audience.
Well, I guess they should have never swapped directors, right?
Right. And does it go to show like the director's cut is typically better? I mean, back in the day, they used to always release the director's cut when you got the DVD of a movie.
You know, I look at making a movie and other forms of artwork kind of like fine arts, like painting, you know? And if the artist gets halfway into the painting or three quarters of the way into the painting, and then a bunch of executives from the frame shop or from the gallery start getting involved and they start monkeying with the painting, there's a kind of a painting is drying, the stuff is curing. When you start getting into it, redoing the painting, now it'll turn into a mess.
Yeah,
because you can't paint over the old painting. You could start with a fresh canvas, but you're always going to be better off just letting this artist finish his vision. Mm-hmm. You hiring another painter. I mean, could you imagine just with the analogy of painting? Like, we're going to get another artist in. We're going to get some executives. We're going to give you some notes. He's going to paint on top of your painting using some of your existing painting. It's always a disaster.
Yeah.
It has to be a disaster. You have to, when you're the executives and the network or the filmmaking network who's doing it or whatever, at some point, you just have to go, look, we bet on this guy. Let him finish the race. It's just he's got to finish it.
Yes. Like when you I'll go back to when you did the hammer. Were there things that they kind of gave advice that you didn't want to take or any suggestions? And then you're even to this day kind of think like, oh, I can't believe that made it in. Or
we didn't have anybody. We had Charles Herman Wormfeld, who was the director, who was very gay and very bohemian. And then there were me and Kevin Hench, who are very unbohemian and ungay. And we were kind of, saying stuff to him along the way. Like, he'd say stuff like, in amateur boxing, do they wear boxing hats? And I'd say, headgear? Yeah. The boxing hat, would they wear that? And I'd say, yeah, okay. So he didn't have a, rich history of amateur boxing. At least he wasn't, he was no Max Kellerman. I'll put it to you that way. But he had certain ideas that he liked, certain ideas that he didn't like. He wanted to hang like a cross above Jerry's bed in like his apartment for some reason. And Hench was like, he wouldn't hang a cross in front of his bed. And there were like a couple. There's also things that are like when you write the joke, when you do stand up and you write a joke, you don't really close your eyes and envision the joke. You just, next time you go up on stage, you just tell the joke. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And then sometimes it doesn't come out the way you wanted it to come out. And sometimes the audience doesn't get it because it's not a great joke. Or sometimes you butcher it, as whatever's in your head. But when you write movies, at least when I write a movie, I am picturing the scene in my head playing out the way I want it to play out visually. I'm like seeing all the physically what people are doing and stuff like that. And we had a couple, and so Charles didn't really have a comedic background, so Charles wouldn't get some of the jokes is that were in my head. Essentially on the page, they seemed okay, but in my head I thought it would be funny. And the one that always comes to mind, and also you have like, 19 days to shoot, and you're just running from one place. You're running. And so there's a lot of like, oh, that's not important, or we don't need to get that. We're setting up. We're moving. I had the truck, my car door truck would keep swinging open, on its own. And Charles was like, yes, we've seen it. We get it. We did it. moving on. And we'd be like, no, it has to keep happening. If you keep it happening, it's a running joke, And he'd go, but we already saw it. We already did it. We already filmed it. Let's not. And we're out at the Van Nuys courthouse and everyone was going to lunch. And Kevin was like yelling at the camera guy, just set up on the corner and I'll get in the truck and I'll swing by and have the door go flying open and the bungee cord, go sailing out. And Charles was like, I don't get it. We already did it. It was a real funny part. It gets a real big laugh in the movie. But it's like he wasn't seeing it like we saw it. And the other one that drove me nuts is the peanut gag, which I've told you guys before. But it would sort of encapsulate my life. So when you're in one area shooting, you have like some second team, even though we didn't really have a second team. They're like setting up the next thing, the next shot,
Second unit.
Yeah. And in the script, I stop at the Latin guy who's selling flowers by the side of the freeway. I want to get the flowers before I go on a date. And at some point, he's going to hold up. In the script, it says a pillowcase sack of peanuts. So the joke was, I was, giving the guy a pep talk about life and what do you want to do, and there's got to be more to it than this. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And then he was going to hold up this giant sack and go, peanuts, And it was kind of a visual thing. And so we set up to do the shot, and we had a very small paper bag of peanuts. Not a clear bag, just a little. And Kevin and I were like, hey, the peanuts, the pillowcase size sack of peanuts filled with peanuts. What is this? And he just goes, peanuts don't come in a pillowcase.
That's true.
Yeah. Where's my fucking steno pad when I need it? You're kidding me? And what about duvet covers? Do they? What about dust ruffles? No. And Charles is going, we're losing the light. We got the peanuts. Oh. Just hold up the bag. You got a little bag of peanuts. And Hench is like, someone find me a clear bag. I need a big clear bag. And people are like scrambling around. And then we're like, take all the peanuts and empty them into that and go to the 7-Eleven and get a shitload of peanuts and bring them back. And Charles is like, oh, come on. We got it. We're set up. Let's just shoot it. So you get into a lot of that. The other thing that was funny, I haven't told you guys in a while, but it was another one of those prop guys. Woo! Prop guys are great. Prop guys. Low budget prop guys. Boy, you want to hear some arguments, mic me up and talk to prop guys. And so we were all working out of this shop I'm at, right? Where we're at now. And this is kind of the home base, and we're parking the props here and the trucks and load up and wardrobe and stuff. We'd leave in the morning and all that stuff. And at some point, I go into my apartment, into Jerry's apartment. And Jerry's apartment is kind of a valley, kind of a dump, kind of a loser's apartment. And I came walking in, sort of looking up, like, here's his bedroom. I think we rented a small apartment in like the San Fernando Valley. Like, this is his bedroom. This is what his living room's like. Walk in the kitchen. It's all pretty downtrodden, kind of bad bachelor pad, poor people stuff. But in the trash can is this brushed nickel steel trash can with the kick plate and the top that pops. I mean, it's a $210 trash can. And I go to the prop guy, I go, what the hell is this trash can doing? It should be just a bucket with a Ralph's bag in it. I go, why has he got a $300 trash can? He goes, that's the trash can you guys wanted to use. And I go, it is? Who said to use that trash can? And he goes, that's what they were telling me to use. That's what was there. And I went, wait a minute. Mm. I ordered a super expensive trash can for my house. I think you got the can that was supposed to be for my house delivered here, because I just ordered one a week ago and it looks a lot like that one. And this fucking guy stuck to his story. He's like, no, that's the one. It's the one we wanted to use. I'm like, all right, even if it's not the one I ordered for my house, which it is, you should know enough to know that this loser doesn't have a $300 trash can in his kitchen. So he's one of the many ones.
He's using a maxi pad to make coffee.
Right.
He's not going to have that trash can.
That is correct. But yeah, when you do those movies, it's like, it never ends.
And I can't imagine that you're doing that and doing a comedy where your goal is to make everybody laugh and kind of be in an upbeat mood, which I like. Like when I think of Groundhog Day, all I can think about is how Bill Murray and Harold Ramis were fighting the entire time now. So even though it's
you know too much.
Yeah, I know too much. I still think it's a perfect movie, but it does ruin it a little bit.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Let's see. Do you want to – we can get into some of the Asian hate stuff, or we can talk about minimum wage, or what do you want?
Let's do Asian hate.
All right. Well, we didn't really address this on the show, but last week we had Atlanta spa shootings that were going around. It was a 21-year-old guy, and he killed 8 people, 6 of whom were Asian women, and another person was wounded as well. And everybody's kind of all up in arms. Well, they are up in arms, because this is coming on the heels of kind of around like the beginning of February is when the Stop Asian Hate movement really started to gain momentum. Mm-hmm. Like, even to the point where like the NBA was tweeting it out, ESPN, every like major company was saying, hey, we're with the Asians. And I thought it was weird at that time, just because I thought February is Black History Month. Mm. And now I feel like I'm hijacking it.
You guys usurped it.
Exactly. But look, I mean, there were a lot of stories that were happening before these shootings. And we have some of the videos of what happened, but a lot of them were just Asian people like just getting punched on the street. You can watch here. Someone just, and these are like, these are the people you hate most, Adam. They just randomly just,
oh, the
like,
worst,
like attack passerby.
The worst.
And yeah, that was a decent sized dude for like a tell attacking a modestly sized woman.
Yeah, yes. There you go. There's an old Asian guy who got punched in the back of the head and knocked down or pushed.
He fell face first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my take on this is what the fuck, but let's not turn it into a white supremacist movement. This is a lot of brothers are carrying out a lot of these attacks, too. And we get into a big issue because we're really only interested in hate and racism as it pertains to white supremacy. We're not really – we don't mind it when it's a generalized kind of thing. So we sort of pull – well, we don't complain about it on the news as much.
No, you're right. So, but racism is a big tent that a lot of people fit under.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. You can be black and racist. I mean, statistically, it's kind of – I don't remember all the numbers, but – statistically, the way violent crime works and crime in general, as far as race goes, most people stick to their own race. Most of the time, most of the crime against white people is white people. The overwhelming majority of crime toward black people is black people. Asians are Hispanic is that way. Asian is like the only group where there's more other people than their own people. So that's a decent argument.
You don't see a lot of Asian on Asian crime, and if any.
Again, you know, look, it makes sense. If you live in the south side of Chicago and it's a predominantly black neighborhood, then the people that are going to be robbing the black people are going to be other black people, and vice versa in the white neighborhoods. If you're in, you know, Arkansas or something like that, that's generally how it goes. But the Asians are victims more by other races than their own. I don't know, Dawson, you can look for this. I'm just kind of going off of memory. Black people actually do a disproportionate amount of what would fall into the hate crime or the racially based crime. I think white people are second, Hispanics are third, Asians or last, and I don't even know if Jews rank.
Right.
In the negative.
Yeah, they're probably in the negative. But the thing about the shooting in Atlanta, or outside of Atlanta, I don't know if it was in Atlanta or not, is that guy claims to be sexually addicted.
Yes. So he said it was a result of a sex addiction that conflicted with his religious beliefs and that he needed to eliminate temptation and kill. He claimed that he thought about killing himself first, but instead decided to kill others to, quote, help those dealing with sex addiction.
And there were reports that he was in rehab for sex addiction, and there was reports that he told his roommate to, like, hide his computer so he couldn't get at it. So this feels like a nut job who's killing people, but he has not said it was a race-related crime. And my feeling is we got enough race-related crimes to go around. My feeling is let's not convert ones that may not have been race-related into race-related crimes. That's right. My beef. My beef isn't with reporting of race-related crime or killings. My beef is converting stuff where the guy says, no, that wasn't my motive. I'm a sexual addict and I'm a nut job. And we're now converting it into that.
That's right. But also now there's an argument to be made that it takes a catastrophe like this one to bring focus to all the Asian hate that was happening.
Well,
that nobody was really.
That's fine.
I was able to find one little piece of information. The internet's pretty good at scrubbing this stuff.
Oh, really? Why'd the internet get good at scrubbing some stuff, but not other stuff?
The increased hate crimes toward Asian Americans. There's a 2020 statistics in New York City, at least, that showed that 18 of the 20 reported hate crimes were committed by black and Hispanic Americans.
All right. Well, maybe we've come so far in race relations that there's black and Hispanic white supremacists. I think that's going to be the next.
A long way.
I don't know.
Be the next place to get to. I don't know. Give it time. We'll get there.
Yeah, and look, a lot of these reports are saying it's happened over the last year or so because of COVID, and everyone's blaming like Trump for calling it the China virus or the Kung Flu virus, and that the Chinese brought the coronavirus here and did all that. So, I mean, there's a lot of guessing and assuming, but it is a big movement right now.
Right. So how many of those guys were Trump supporters who in New York wearing MAGA hats?
17 of 18 of them.
Oh, for sure. All right, let's bring it home, Max Pat. I want to get to my brackets.
All right, let's get to the March Madness Mass. Thanks again for listening to Trending Topics. Check out the Water Cooler podcast on Corolla Digital.
We got, well, speaking of production value, we're going to do our third round of March Madness Madness, and we'll do that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.